Okay, so I'm going to jump in. I want to read a few scriptures. If we can put them up there. I know this New Living Translation of mine is a bit different, so let's see if I can read from the board. John 13, verse 21. It says, "Now Jesus was in great anguish of spirit, and he exclaimed, 'The truth is, one of you will betray me.'" And then verse 23. One of Jesus' disciples, the one Jesus loved, was sitting next to Jesus at the table. Next one. Simon Peter motioned to him to ask, "Who would do this terrible thing of betraying Jesus?" Leaning towards Jesus, John is asking, he says, "Lord, who is it?" And then it goes on to verse, is it, where am I now? Jesus said, "It's the one to whom I give the bread dipped in the sauce." And when he had dipped it, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. And next. As soon as Judas had eaten the bread, Satan entered into him, and Jesus told him, "Hurry, do it now." And then the next verse. None of the others at the table knew what Jesus meant. Since Judas was there, their treasurer, some thought that Jesus was telling him to go and pay for the food or to give some money to the poor. And then the next one. So Judas left at once, going out into the night. As soon as Judas left, as soon as Judas left the room, Jesus said, "The time has come for me, the Son of Man, to enter into my glory, and God will receive glory because of all that happens to me. And God will bring me into glory very soon. Dear children, how brief are these moments before I must go away and leave you. Then, though you search for me, you cannot come to me, just as I told the Jewish leaders. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. Should you love one another? Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Okay. So Jesus is giving his disciples here this command. He says, love one another. And it comes as a command. And he says, love, like the way you interact with one another, your relational interaction, it is one of love. It's about caring for one another. And this reminds me of one of our values, which is, if you're a visitor, we speak quite a lot about the ABCs. This is the B, the belonging. We belong to one another. That love for one another is that we are part of one another. We share our lives together. We truly love one another. And by doing this, it is proof that we follow Jesus. So if we don't do this, then we don't have any proof, any evidence that we are his disciples. If we can't get this right. But if you've been part of church long enough, you would have realized that it's very easy to step on toes. Huh? Who have been offended in church somewhere around the time? Huh? Yeah. And don't be prideful here. You can put up your hands, yeah? Like, just the reality of interacting with other believers is there is an opportunity somewhere to get offended. And the reality is there. And but the thing is, Jesus is giving a command here, and he says, love one another. And I want to use an historic event to explain how dangerous it is if we don't deal with these things that comes up in our hearts. And so I don't know if you have ever heard of the volcano Krakatoa. Have you ever heard of Krakatoa? I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, so don't go fact-check me on this. But this is this little volcanic island in Indonesia between Java and Sumatra. And so this island is known for volcanic eruptions. But in 1883, it recorded the volcanic eruption that made the loudest sound ever in history. And this is why I chose this one, because sometimes if we don't deal with the things underneath, there's an eruption that come. It's last night of last week's the Durex thing. It's like I have to like think English now. Think English. I had to preach in Afrikaans last week, and so these if we don't deal with this thing, it makes a sound, and that sound has an effect on people. All right. So this Krakatoa in May 1883, there was a captain of a warship, of the Elizabeth warship, that saw steam and smoke coming out of this island. And it was quite beautiful to see. Everybody looked at it, and nothing there. 3 months later, I think it's 3 months, in August, that thing erupted, 26th of August. It erupted so wildly that the ash and the pieces of rock that came out was shoot into the air 15 miles high into the air. It was such an explosion. The eruption of the explosion was the equivalent of 200 megatons of TNT, dynamite. The force was so big that it caused multiple tsunamis. Over 36,000 people died. At first, people were looking at this amazing light show, and then suddenly their cheer and their excitement was turned into sorrow. The sound that was heard was up, they heard the sound of this blast up to 3,000 miles further. They say that 160 kilometers away, standing, the sound was so loud that it sounded like you were standing next to a rocket launch. It was a massive explosion. Sailors' eardrums ruptured 65 kilometers away. Permanent deafness occurred 16 kilometers away. More than two-thirds of Krakatoa Island was itself disappeared. It was completely annihilated. And these tsunamis were so that it actually reached South Africa. The effect of this explosion was so horrible. And why I'm using this picture of a volcanic eruption, if we don't deal with the emotions inside of us, pressure builds like a volcano. And this is what a volcano does. Inside, underneath the earth's crust, pressure builds. It keeps on building. There's this building of melting of rock and gases that are building, and then suddenly the earth crust can't hold it in anymore, and it explodes it out, and then we see the lava, and it causes tsunamis and the devastation that we have heard right now. And so sometimes we don't deal with these offenses, these things that are in our heart, and then what happens? We erupt. And what I want to speak today is preventing volcanic venting. Okay, because if we do this, if we prevent these volcanic ventings, then we could actually do what Jesus has asked us in that command, love one another, just as I have loved you. So I've got 3 points, like a true Baptist. I'm not a Baptist. Okay, so the first point is don't take it. All right, the second point is don't let it grow. And the third point is deal with it. All right. So that's the 3 points that I'm going to share today. And then I'm going to be finished. And I actually didn't put my time on, so I don't know how long I'm going to go. But here we go. So what's interesting for me about the scripture in John 13, verse 34 to 35, it says, now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. You know, the context of this is so significant because Jesus just witnessed one of his own walking out and going to betray him. He had an opportunity to feel disappointed, offended, because one that he has walked with for 3 years is the one that's the very one that's going to betray him right now. He's on his way to sell him for a few gold coins, silver coins. Just imagine that. How many of us would have been offended in that moment? Feeling betrayed and disappointed. But Jesus did not take it. He did not take that offense. In that very atmosphere, he says, love one another. Just as I love you right now. And I'm not getting offended by this. I think Judas probably was offended because a chapter or so earlier, he was making a comment about a lady that was bringing this perfume into the room. And Jesus publicly actually reprimanded him and says, leave her alone. Jesus did not leave it. He actually took it. And I think something started boiling to the point actually that it ruptured and that to the point that you betray the Son of God. The best way to deal with offense is not to take it. Not to take offense. That's your first stop. If you can, why would Jesus command us to actually love one another in such a way that he, in the way he loved us? Because he knows if we take that thing, it starts festering inside of our hearts. And I'm going to share a testimony now about when I actually did that and how fraught my heart actually became because I did that. But what's interesting, Jesus said in Luke 17 verse 1, he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offense should come, but woe to through whom they do come. So he says it's impossible that offense will not come. But you have a choice whether you're going to take it or not. All right. That's my first point. Are you still with me? All right. The second point, say by some way you actually took it. Then the next point is don't let it grow. Don't let it fester. Don't let the pressure build up. And there's a way that we deal with this. And just to give you a definition of what it means to take offense. To take offense means to become trapped by resentment, hurt, or bitterness as a result of being wronged, treated unfairly, or even just perceiving that one has been wronged. So even like you perceived you no wrong has been done, but it's that disappointment, that hurt, that being feeling that I've been unfairly treated by somebody. And then you take that offense and you receive it in your heart. When you receive it in your heart, you have to deal with it quickly. And you don't want that thing to grow. Because resentment is a deep feeling of anger, of bitterness, or displeasure. Pleasure towards someone because of the past hurt, offense, or injustice. And then if you leave that resentment, it comes into bitterness. And bitterness is that thing that's become hard. It's almost like a chronic condition of that thing. It just gets, it's resentment 2.0. So you leave this thing and it keeps on festering and it becomes something that just pressure builds. And this happened to me. I came to Wellington. I was free, man, unoffendable, no offense. I was just serving, going, like doing, just if somebody said I need to go there, I do that. I was just free. And then there was an instance with a leader that he did something that hurt me very much. And I felt it was unfair. But I sort of, like I did what many of us do, and we say, no, but I'm not offended. But I was hurt. I was disappointed. And I left this thing. I brushed it off like any introvert would do and just went on with life. But there came a time where I realized that I became very short with people, snappy. Like there's just this explosion that's happening, like this volcano, the pressure was building inside, and there was this wound that was not dealt with, and then it started coming out of the crowd. I was venting all these things. And thank you that Jesus is alive and that we can have a relationship with him. So somehow I had this desire to go to the season where I was just waiting on God and just sitting and waiting on God. And one morning, as I was sitting very early, waiting on God, just, God, what do you want to speak to me? He spoke these words to me and he says, Morris, you are bleeding unforgiveness. I was quite taken aback because I've never even heard that phrase mentioned, like, you're bleeding unforgiveness. In our context today, you are venting unforgiveness. It's coming out. The lava is, it is explosion, the sound. And so I actually realized I had somebody to forgive. And we never really had a conversation where we spoke about it. But in that moment, I brought that thing to the Lord. And it was so bad that sometimes people would actually do something that reminds me of that person. I will get offended with that person because of the memory of that wound. If you leave this thing and you let it grow, it festers, it becomes rotten. And that's where the enemy finds himself, in that fraught situation. But Ephesians 4, verse 31 to 32, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. It's interesting that it links these things in evil behavior. It's linked to something that is not from the Lord. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. How do we not let this thing grow? We forgive quickly. Now, that instance has brought this thing in my life where I've made a decision that I will forgive quickly. No matter what. You've got 30 seconds, Morris. 10 seconds to be upset, and then 20 seconds to forgive and say, Lord. But it is not even. But I've learned to actually, it is so important for us to put off this thing and to forgive. And sometimes it's just like, Lord, whatever I feel this person owes me, paid in full, forgiven. I forgive them. And you know, when Jesus hung on the cross, when he said in Luke 23, verse 34 to 35, he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. I think sometimes if we were Jesus on that cross, we would say, Father, can I please get off here? I want to go and explain to this person how he has hurt me. And then I want to give him an opportunity to repent, and then I will forgive him. This is not what Jesus did. Jesus says, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. You have a decision to not let this thing grow by forgiving quickly. It's a choice that you make. It's not a feeling. It's a decision that you make. I've been harmed. There was disappointment. It was hurt. But Father, my choice right now is to forgive them because you have forgiven me and I've done worse things. I was involved through my sin, nailing Jesus to the cross. Proverbs 17 verse 9 says, he who covers over an offense promotes love. This is a beautiful scripture. Love one another just as I have loved you. How many times should I forgive that person? Father, they keep on doing the same thing. Well, Peter asked the same question, and he was quite generous and said, Peter came to Jesus and says, Lord, how often should I forgive someone in Matthew 18, verse 21, who sins against me? Seven times? And he was being generous because the rabbis at that time, what they encouraged was to forgive three times. So he was generous and saying seven times. It's like, Lord, should I forgive him seven times? And then Jesus' response was, but 70 times seven. Peter, as much as it needed, you need to forgive. Because if you don't forgive, this is the place where the enemy starts building his fortress in your life. And you'll do yourself a favor, and also those that will suffer because of the volcanic eruptions, if you forgive. You know, sometimes because of that phrase that hurt people hurt, it's most probably why we don't get right that command that Jesus is giving. Love one another just as I've loved you. So I want to encourage you today, if there's somebody, and we're going to give an opportunity to forgive in a few minutes. And I'm going into my last point. And the last point is deal with it. Now, sometimes you've actually let this thing in, and you actually need to deal with this, in a sense, having a conversation with the person. So Matthew 18, deal with it, is applying Matthew 18. All right. Matthew 18 is a scripture that's used many times in church discipline, but I'm just going to focus today on verse 15. It says in verse 15, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out their offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. All right. There's a few keys in this verse. So if another person sins against you, it's like offense will come. There will be sin against you. What do? You go to them privately. Do you see the word privately? Huh? You see privately. You don't go around and tell Quissy about how this person has hurt me, and then you go to Sunny and you say, this person has hurt me. You go to the person directly. Because if you go around and tell everybody, I'm just a verbal processor. If you do that, you're volcanic venting and you're bringing destruction and you're bringing hurt to people's ears. Eardrums will burst, because that's what the Bible's got a word for that. It's called gossip. We sometimes have the feel, but I have a need to vent. Jesus encouraged us not to vent in the way you think you want to vent. But I missed a step. Even before you go to them, forgive them already. Because if you go with them not already being forgiven, then you will try to kind of tell this person, like getting off the cross and say, why have you kind of done this? Let me tell you how you've hurt me. Go forgiving, and then go in humility. Go in humility low and say, when this has happened, I felt hurt. It felt like this has hurt me. And then it says here, that person, if he listens, he will confess his sin, and then you have won your brother back. Doesn't that sound like that verse, love one another? Because the reality is there will be opportunities where we will be tempted to be in offense. But as we forgive quickly. Now, I want to give a caution. The first caution was, don't go around and gossip. Proverbs 29 verse 11 says, fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back. It's a foolish thing to go and vent your anger with a lot of people. It's better to follow Jesus and go to the person and speak to them directly. And then the second caution that I want to bring is, if you are that person where people feel they can confide in and come and telling you their gossip, I want to also warn you against that. Don't become the person where people like to bring their gossip, because you are the one that listens to them. We need to learn, when somebody comes to us with a gossip story where they speak about somebody else, we need to stop them and say, sorry, can I ask a question? Have you spoken to this person? Because Matthew 18 says, go to that person privately and have that conversation. If they say no, then can we please finish this conversation? And I would encourage you to first go speak to them. And then, if you are afraid to speak to them alone, I can go with you. But we're not going to have this conversation where you speak for 2 hours and sharing how your heart has been hurt. Because that is causing that venting that causes harm. No, I know that there are some times where we need to vent. There's emotional pressure. That's why we have counseling ministries. But make sure that when you speak about what's happening in your heart, that you're not gossiping. And that you have actually, that the motive of your heart is actually to find healing. Because pressure will build and we will get hurt. And there will be things that hurts us. Everybody's very quiet. So either I am very boring or I'm touching some interesting things here. What Jesus thinks, or like Paul writes about gossip. In Romans 1 verse 29, there's many scriptures, but their lives became full of every kind of wickedness. So he's naming a few things that are wickedness. He says sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. Paul mentioned this is evil. This is something that will destroy the relationships and in our midst if we don't stop this thing. If we don't take it, don't let it grow, and then if we need to deal with it, we deal with it quickly. And we have those conversations. And then I want to encourage those, if somebody comes to you and speak to you about a moment where they actually got hurt, then I want to ask you to humble yourself also. And don't justify your intentions. Just take responsibility for the part where you have hurt somebody. Recently, somebody was like saying a lot of things. Maurice, you did this, you did this. And I was listening. And there are things, my intentions wasn't to do that. But that person got hurt in the process. So I said, sorry that you got hurt. I repented. Whether I wanted to do that or not. And that relationship was restored. That relationship brought closeness because of that. Okay. Are you okay? All right. I see some smiles. All right. So I'm closing. Hey, not much, huh? I'm closing, so you can relax now. No, not yet. So, just to summarize, offense will come. So, when it comes, don't take it. Don't receive it in your heart. Cover over offense and promote love, as Proverbs 17 says. Don't let it grow. Forgive quickly. Don't let this thing separate close friends. And do it as many times as needed. And then, deal with it. By applying Matthew 18. Go to those people, have those private conversations, and deal with it. Then it says here, in private, be careful that you don't become a gossip, a volcanic venter, or a place where people like to gossip, but doing what Jesus did to love one another and to prove that we are His disciples. This is how we prove that we are His disciples. The aim is not, oh, woe is me, I've gossiped and I've done. The aim is, let's restore the relationships so that we can show the world that we are His disciples. Amen.